Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. It once again I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show. This is scan number 2795. That's 2795. Tonight we're going to have a really special guest on. I've been waiting for him to come on. I just love this organization. His name is Dominic Prophet, and he is the executive director of Winona's House in New Jersey, and that is a CAC, Child Advocacy Center, where the mission is to promote justice and healing of child victims of abuse and violence by coordinating investigative, prosecutorial treatment and prevention services. Okay, so they work with the court systems. They do all kinds of things, and I'm just so happy to have him on. Okay, so we have Bill here tonight. He's here, and I suggest natural people you should be calling in. Yes, you are, by
yeah,
God.
Yeah, call in people.
And come on, NASCA, come on now. All right, but anyway, the number is 646-595-2118 for those who don't know. We are a worldwide program. We are a worldwide show. But I want our people to call in. That'd be nice. Again, the number is 646-595-2118. Now, I'm going to read the mission statement, and I do this every time that I run the show. I think it's a good thing to do. We have a singleness of purpose at NASCA, and that is to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so two different ways. Number one is educating the public, especially as related to getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse. Presenting the facts that show child abuse to be a pandemic, worldwide problem that affects everyone. Number two is offering hope for healing to numerous pairs and providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Now, I have a way of saying prevention, and I do believe that if society became more involved and had tools to work with and knew what to do if they saw child abuse, or if they were aware of child abuse five houses down the block or whatever, and they made a phone call, maybe you'd be able to help put that dent in the statistics of child abuse. We're never going to be able to stop child abuse. I wish we could, but it's been around ever since the beginning of time. But what we can do is help a lot of kids, okay, so they're not a part of those statistics. And that takes a lot of hard work from people like Bill and myself and our guest, Dominic, okay? And so I want him to, explain everything about, Winona's House. And again, you can look it up on your computer. You'll see for yourself. You come to the homepage, and it has all different areas that you can go into. But for heaven's sake, listen to what he has to say, because I, being a child who had to go to court, this is why it's so close to my heart, along with 13 other little girls who were kidnapped and raped. This means so much to me to have these type of organizations that we have today. Okay. All right. So, Dominic, go right ahead and start telling us, what do you do and how do you get into, how does a parent bring their child to your organization and all the things that you need to talk about? Go ahead.
Well, thank you for having me, Carol. This is really an opportunity to really get the community aware of not only the issue about child abuse, but how they can really be a part of the solution for their communities. Wynonna House has been around for over 20 years. We have we're named after Senator Wynonna Lippman, who has been a champion for in regards to children's rights and women's rights. And she has, because of her, we have all these legislations that actually really fight and prevent abuse to women and abuse to children. She was really a champion for that. And at Wynonna's House, we do just that. We really work in a collaborative way, in a multidisciplinary collaborative way, in order to help our community respond, to hold the offender accountable, as well as helping the family in the aftermath of abuse heal during the time where they have to really put their family back together again. Wynonna's House is the Essex County CAC that serves our county. There are CACs throughout the state, but we serve children who've come in the path of being abused and when they seek help. At the center, we have all the partners, all the first responders who, when these things happen, must respond to abuse. We have the Essex County Prosecutor's Office. They have a team here at our 36,000 square foot center in the downtown Newark. We also have the Department of Child Protection and Permanency. They have representatives here. We have Robert Wood Johnson, Newark Israel Regional Diagnostic Treatment Center, who's also located here. And they have their mental health and their medical staff as well co-located here. And we have Wynonna's House Advocacy, family advocates, who assist the families in walking through and supporting them when they are in this during this crisis of child abuse and having to deal with this impact, this traumatic experience. Supporting them through the entire process. All of this is done in a multidisciplinary way. We have all of these partners working together and keeping the child at the center of this response to ensure that the child, when they are seeking to disclose and tell their story of trauma, of abuse, they are at the center. Everyone is cognizant of what's happening. They do it, and we do it in a very trauma-informed way. So the child, when they go through this process, is not re-traumatized and insured, and they see that they are insured safety. They're insured a loving and warm response with individuals who truly understand what they're going through, not only for the child but also for the family. And this is really what Wynonna's House is all about.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And also, too, the people that come in, like the police officers or whoever's going to take reports, or they're going to have the kids sit there and they question them. I know they're trained. They know exactly what they're doing. All of them are so wonderful. But I don't believe they wear their uniforms either, do they?
No. No. The center is designed to ensure that when the child comes, they understand that they're there to be supported. What we've learned is that historically, when children have and when people respond, when law enforcement responds to child abuse, historically, there's been a way in which it would be addressed where the child was not the center of the response. We wanted to ensure through this model that the child is at the center. Their perception of support comes from their understanding of what exactly are they going to receive when they come to the other center. So when they walk in, it is designed to be child-friendly. The murals, the what they see, the way they are engaged and welcome. It's always understanding where they are, what where they are in regards to the abuse and the type of impact it has on them. So we would have a family advocate or a family engagement specialist who would be at the welcoming welcoming the family. We would ensure that all visuals are geared towards providing them a sense of safety. It's a child-friendly design. It is a child-friendly welcome, and is also done in a manner in which it's done in their time and within their space.
That's good. That's good. I remember so well when I had to go down and look at mug shots in Staten Island. Now, I'm not afraid of police officers. But as a child, when you're 8 years old, and they're all running around, you know, in the office, and their guns are
right.
flopping all over the place.
Right. All of those images really, particularly depending on the cultural background of a child, can spark fear. I mean, during this past year, we've learned that oftentimes, depending of your background, you may have a sense of concern when law enforcement comes in or you see them. So it is the best way to approach it is it's always to provide a bit of what's familiar for the child. You know, at the center, we have a diversity of family advocates and partners, not only cultural diversity, but in regards to their competency and their understanding of the trauma that a child goes through when they may face abuse or be the victim of a sexual assault or a victim of physical abuse. All of those competencies are brought to bear when a child comes to the center. To ensure that they feel safe, there is an opportunity just to have them come and sit and wait for a family advocate to introduce them at the center. Once the family advocate is here, there's a possibility they're coming here to tell their story. So there is a forensic video interviewer. It is a professional who is able to interview the child in a child-friendly, non-leading manner. Historically, when children were to disclose abuse, they would have to tell their stories over and over and over again to different professionals. That can be intimidating in and of itself. So the model that we have here is to allow the child to come in and to allow the child to speak to a forensic video interviewer who is trained to speak to the child in a non-leading way, to speak to the child with language that they understand depending on their age, and also a way for them to tell their story in their own time. And during that interview at the center, those who need to have that information to assist the family, to coordinate and help the family, they're able to hear, they're able to listen without having to have the child have multiple interviews and discussions with individuals who, you know, may just prolong and actually create more of a negative impact because they're asking the same questions over and over again. And that's something that we want to minimize. We don't want the child to relive that trauma. We want to make sure that it's done in a way that is cognizant as to what happened and their age, their development.
Right. That's really excellent. And let me ask you something. Let's just say that mommy and daddy are okay, but there's someone in the family who had abused them. And
right.
you know, sexually abused them. These kids, you know, I had it both inside and outside the family. So, but to me, the inside of the family was the scariest and the most saddening, the most saddening.
Yeah,
because it's someone you're supposed to love and who's supposed to love you, you know. So my question to you is this. You're a psychologist. I see you have everybody on board. I'm looking at this down here at the bottom of your bio. I mean, you have everyone there. So how do you work with the family, say, like the mother and the father? The father, if he finds out, say, like his brother, I'll just use that as an example, the uncle, right?
Yeah.
But say he's the one that abused the kid. He wants to go and smack him in the head and do all kinds of things. And it turns into a very volatile environment. What do you do with people like that?
Well, first of all, that's one of the reasons why we have many of our partners who are co-located. Each have a specialty. Each would have a role to play in the response. For instance, if there is a family member who has abused the child, we have the Department of Child Protection and Permanency who, under their mandate, would respond and do an investigation and ensure that the child is safe, whether it makes them make their determination as to whether or not to remove the child or place the child in a safe environment. We also have the Essex County Prosecutor's Office, who is also a partner, and they would conduct their investigation through their detectives and investigators, and they would respond in regards to holding the offender accountable and ensuring that the crime of abuse that has occurred is responded to. So all of this is being done in coordination. So with all the partners in regards to the non-offending caregiver, non-offending family members. excuse me. There's also support with the mental health and the processing of all of that. That's why we have the Regional Diagnostic Treatment Center. So not only are we doing, if there's been a sexual assault or a type of offense in that manner, there can be done, what we can do in-house as well is treat the child and also do proper referrals to mental health providers who can support the child and also do proper supports to the family as well. And also we have family advocates who also provide referrals and services and supports, not only in regards to the reasons why the family has come to the center, excuse me, but also look at the entire family holistically. They're able to see whether or not there are also some, whether it's food insecurities or domestic violence or any type of other violence that may be occurring within the family, and provide them with supports.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, it did happen in the family. A lot of times there are a couple other offenders as well, you know, you just never know. And so for people who go to the house, you know, and do like a home visit once in a while or whatever, or at least go and compile information, it's a very,
really,
very good thing.
Yeah, and that's really why it's done holistically, because you have all of these different disciplines talking to each other, and they're able to support each other in truly providing a true analysis and approach with all these different factors that we find when there's been abuse in a home. For instance, when we talk about food insecurities, when we talk about disclosing some of the needs that the family may have, that conversation comes based on the rapport that is built with the family. When the family comes to the center, when the family begins to see in this very multidisciplinary, trauma-informed manner that they are being supported. They are being told they can see not only by what the professionals are saying, but what they see, what they feel about, you know, they're here to help us. They're here to help our child. They're here to ensure that not only the offender or the offenders are held accountable, but they're here to guide us through this very traumatic crisis that we're in now. And here at Winona's House, we don't necessarily respond and do the immediate triage when we hear of and are responding to a report of abuse. We are looking at the family for the long term. I mean, we say here that we never close our case. We have families that have, you know, they've responded. We've held the offender accountable by having a judgment against the defendant, and then later on, we will continue to support them because we've learned as we were supporting them originally that. One parent was in a domestic violence situation, and there were needs regarding, you know, education and financial literacy, and you know all of these risk factors that may lead to not only family instability but also abuse are addressed. That's what it means by looking at the family holistically. Oftentimes, right. Historically, that has not been done. And you find yourself, or we find ourselves as a community, seeing these types of crimes reoccurring because we don't spend the time to understand the family dynamics that brought this to happen. So it's really, if we're looking to truly eradicate, to truly fight abuse, we have to take the time to understand the dynamics that bring about abuse. And here at Winona's House and all CACs, you get that opportunity. I mean, there are many survivors who realize that the CAC is just not a place that you come and just to disclose abuse, but it's also a place that you get support, that you learn, and you are able to get all of the support necessary to build your family. And these are things that go beyond and have the best outcomes for our children.
That's wonderful. But you know what? I think Winona's House is goes over and beyond, you know, a lot of them. I don't know if they've caught up.
I appreciate you saying that. I appreciate you saying that because I do want to have an opportunity to say, you know, what we've learned the last since I've been here at Winona's House is that we have to look beyond just having a multidisciplinary approach. We also have to look at our community because when we start to be preventative and proactive, that's when we begin to see the community taking control of eradicating abuse. For example, we do a lot of resiliency programs here. Oftentimes, many social service organizations, they look at the immediate mission, but they don't sometimes go beyond and say, well, our mission may also include ensuring that our families are not facing food insecurity. I mean, this past year, in particular, during the pandemic, where children were, you know, in close proximity because of the stay-at-home orders of their abusers led to a lot of abuse. We're now hearing about that, and coupled with the changing economic times where there are, you know, high costs for food and all types of things, it creates all different factors that, may prevent a family from even seeking to support a child when they are ready to disclose abuse because there are so many other stressors, family stressors that are causing the family to just not be aware of what's, you know, what's happening under their home or in other spaces when the children go to school or go see another family member, or maybe at a space where, you know, there's an abuser who finds an opportunity to abuse a child. It's allowing the family to be in a position to be aware and to be spending the time necessary to support their children. When a family is under economic stress, when the family is under inability to even put food on the table, it creates an environment where predators really find an opportunity to take advantage.
You bet. You bet. Let me put Bill on now. Bill Murray, that's who you're going to be speaking to. And he brought forth NASCA and also the groups that we were talking about before Bill came on in the afternoon. So, Bill, it's all yours. You have questions or comments you want to make? Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Carol. I want to, first of all, I want to speak to our community that might be listening tonight, Dominic, and explain and step back a second, because I do talk about this on occasion, but maybe not enough, that, you know, we don't work directly with children. We work with anyone who's an adult in any way we want. But, you know, in order to do the work you're doing, there has to be all kinds of training and certification and security checks and fingerprinting and all that. We can't do that. But we are national, so we have a huge following. And what they need to know is that the system you're talking about, while Carol and I agree, is you know, kind of a special one, it's not unique in the fact that there are these things called CACs, child advocacy centers, all over the country.
Every state.
I wish there was one in every county, which there aren't. But anyway, they are the best thing that could happen for kids. You know, Carol and I are speaking from our own perspective. You know, they didn't even know little boys could be abused when I was being abused. You know, we've come a long, long way. Go ahead, Dominic.
Yeah, well, actually, I do, because I think there are so many myths that needs to be dispelled. One of which is that, you know, boys can't be abused. Boys can be sexually assaulted. I mean, this is something that I think is that goes into the idea that, you know, boys should be tough enough to be able to deal with these types of, you know, situations. They are children. And children are our most precious part of our community. They are indeed the future. So when we speak about children, we have to understand, boy, the gender doesn't matter. Abuse will happen to a child, and the impact, you know, these adverse childhood experiences are going to affect them in the long term. I mean, these experiences affect their health, their mental health. It can increase the probability of them being depressed. It will impact the ability for them to have a good education. I mean, all of these things needs to be understood that, you know, when it happens, regardless of gender, it needs to be responded. And it needs to be responded in a holistic, multidisciplinary way.
Right. Now, when you say child-friendly, holistic, multidisciplinary way, I just want to, again, tell people in a more general way what that means.
Sure.
It means that the child and maybe the parents and the child become clients of the CAC when there is child abuse discovered. And they are brought to the CAC to receive all kinds of services. It might start with, for example, in some cases, they might get their medical examination in the CAC, because there are scary situations to be taken to a hospital that you can avoid if you have on staff some, you know, trained medical people. So even starting there, go ahead.
Yeah, and well, that's exactly it. I mean, if you take each of the responders, whether it be law enforcement, whether it be the Department of Child Protection and Permanency, the Child Protection Services agency in our state, or the medical providers, if you would bring a child to one of those spaces, a hospital, a precinct, or a station house, or to an agency where the CPS social workers may be housed, it can be intimidating.
Oh, yeah.
So providing a space where they are co-located, and the space itself is specifically designed with studies that show, you know, what are the colors, what are the paint colors that allow for calm and serenity.
Right.
What is the lighting that enhances calm and serenity? What are the words, the approaches that are increase calm and trust? What are the spaces when one walks through that will allow optimize the ability for the family to feel that they are safe, that they are able to disclose a very traumatic experience, knowing that they're going to be assisted? I mean, it's no different than when you're going to speak to someone about something that's very traumatic. You want to make sure that you're ready to listen. So all of this allows all your senses as an individual to tell you we are okay. You don't do that if you're going to go into a precinct and you see uniformed officers with a gun. You don't go there to a hospital where there can be all types of responses that are happening, whether someone got hit by a car, and then you take that all in as a young child and make, you know, a decision personally and say, okay, what's going on here? When you come to the center with all of these designs that it's there to enhance one's trust, one's ability to understand what's going on, it's an immediate reaction. It is not something that they have to decipher. It is very clear when they come in, and when they speak to the first person, from the engagement specialist to possibly the forensic video interviewer or the child abuse pediatrician or the psychologist or the family advocate or anyone at the center, it is done in coordination with that total end in mind.
Right. Now, when we were talking child-friendly, you mentioned the color schemes and things like that. But remember, you're talking about children from, you know, who are barely walking, you know, until their adulthood. So you have to accommodate almost 20 years worth of kids.
Absolutely.
And, But in general, the spaces are designed to be non-threatening. The whole thing is designed to be
the entire center,
right.
Absolutely.
Right, and there might be like funny, I don't know, funny, but cartoons painted on the walls.
Yeah, absolutely,
like that
absolutely.
You know,
if you come to Winona's house, if you come to Winona's
toys.
If you come to Winona's house, the first thing you see on the walls is a friendly cartoon. It's cartoonish design of, you know, a very serene and tranquil space. You know, even to the furniture that we pick, there is time that we talk to professionals and experts about what's the best furniture to achieve the end of calm, trust, serenity, and prepare them for this conversation that is going to be a very difficult conversation.
Exactly. All right, so let me get off, but let me ask you to do one thing as I get off, and that is to, as I said before when I originally came on, these centers are available all over the country. There aren't as many as I'd like, but they are all over the country. How would a person find out where the center is nearest them, if you would, before, well, that's my request, as I say thank you very much for being with us.
Well, I it is my pleasure to be on the show.
Absolutely. We'll have you back. We've had you before. We'll have you back.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. And in order to get more information, first of all, I would love to, all your listeners to go visit our website. It's www.winonashouse.org. Okay?
Right.
And there is, to find out in New Jersey, the closest CAC, please go visit the New Jersey Children's Alliance. That's njca.org. And you will be able to find on their website the closest CAC. I would, you know, advise your listeners to get a chance, you know, call and see if you can just get a quick tour of a center. Of course, it would be an appropriate tour that would allow them just to understand what the center does. And its importance in their community, and nationally, those who are listening nationally, please go visit the National Children's Alliance website, and www.nca.org, and please see and find out your closest CAC.
All right. And
I
if
think
anybody
that's
suggests
wonderful.
That, ask Carol and I. We will always remember Winona's house, okay? And we'll find you hooked up. So thanks again very much, Dominic. And Carol, I'll turn it back to you.
You're quite welcome.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know that you're also affiliated, or at least you are in connection, not affiliated, but with Deidre's house. And I first came across them because they're in Morristown, New Jersey. And then, of course, I did some more searching on the computer, and I found your organization. And so in the Morris County area, there is Deidre's house also. But Winona's house, what I like so much, and I'm not saying that Deidre's house doesn't do this. I love Deidre's house. I love the people there. They know this. But, well, you know, you're more in-depth with working, I think, with the families. And I think that's very, very, very important because, you know, families can either be wonderful or not wonderful. And so to have the professionals go in and make that evaluation and also have a swinging door policy where people can come in back into your center and get help if something goes, you know, bad at home is a very good thing for the child, or maybe for a family member or whatever. And I think that's very, very important because, you know, so often, because so often when a case is over, a lot of people close the book or they seal it. It's sealed, it's done, it's put away. But with your organization, it, like you had mentioned, it does stay open.
We continue.
It's like
We continue to support the family after. We see this as, you know, they're our family. Every family needs support throughout life. And we try to make them understand that we are there for them, even beyond. So we have families even a few years later calling and saying that, you know, let's say the matriarch had said, I'm looking to change jobs. We would help them and find, do some research and help them find and prepare for looking for a job. We have many families who, may hit some hard times and they might need support, whether for food or for education. We're there. They know to trust us, and they come back and support us as well. We had a family who are now survivors, and they actually do a fundraiser for us because they truly believe in the what Winona's House did for them. And Carol, one more time, I think it's worth mentioning. In regards to for your listeners, if they're looking to find out the CAC near them. I would, again, go to the New Jersey Children's Alliance website. Their website is www.njcainc.org. Again, it's njcainc.org. And for your national listeners who would like to find out more about CACs somewhere in their state, I would go, again, to the National Children's Alliance .org. Again, the website is nationalchildrensalliance.org, spelled out, and they will get some more information there. So just want to make sure that we give those that piece of information to your listeners.
Well, that's wonderful. And remember, this is in the archive, so and people are going to listen later on. And, and the whole thing, everything that we're talking about is going to be there. So they'll be able to write it down, look it up, and see for themselves.
Good.
Because, you know, so many people, it's there forever. You can look 5 years from now.
Oh, that's,
if we're still
that's
around.
Great to hear.
Yeah.
We will. Oh, no. They will be, and we will be, you know, and Winona South will be, those in Essex County. I want them, your Essex County listeners, to come and check out our website, which is www.winonashouse.org.
Great. All right. Well, they're going to be able to look at that. Some of them are writing it down as they're listening, and then others, when they get home, whatever they're doing, a lot of people go shopping on Friday nights. But, you know, well, with the holidays coming and everything, too,
yeah.
We're supposedly having Christmas and Kwanzaa and everything all early this year, whatever, you know. So people are out there doing their thing. But, you know, we need this type of show once in a while because people so often, you know, when their children have been sexually abused or physically, mentally, emotionally neglected, okay?
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
We cover all the abuses on our show, not just sexual. We cover all of them. And physical abuse, let's talk a little bit about the abuses. The physical abuse, to me, is just as bad as any of the other abuses, the physical and the emotional.
Well, they're all the
other.
Any abuse.
Yeah.
Is bad. Any trauma is bad. Again, the adverse childhood experience, that's about the trauma a child receives during their childhood, and those are traumatic experiences truly have adverse effects on children long term. If we're looking again to have a healthy community, we need to address those experiences. We need to be as a community and concerned on how we minimize, if not totally eradicate, those types of behaviors that provide these adverse effects to our children. At the end of the day, those types of traumatic experiences are rooted in why we may have heightened crimes in our communities. It's rooted in the types of activities that really makes unhealthy communities, unhealthy families. So we need to make sure that we're able to assist and your listeners, you know, to have the interest, okay, how do I help? Ask yourself that question, how do I help? Go to, and once you say, you know, I want to be part of that solution, look into a CAC to get more information and understand. And one last statement, if you know a child is being abused or have a strong sense that a child is being abused, please call your hotline. In New Jersey, that hotline is 1-877-NJ-ABUSE. Again, that's 1-877-NJ-ABUSE, A-B-U-S.
Right. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, I got scared. I thought my phone did its thing.
No. I'm still here.
That was funny. Okay. No, that's good that you gave that number out. We do have a list of a lot of telephone numbers like that. Sometimes people are afraid to make a report, okay, in their own area. Especially in the urban areas. I used to live in Elizabeth, too. All right, so I've been all over New Jersey. Yep. I was on Sheridan
Avenue. Union County.
Yeah.
Love Union County.
Yeah.
Love Essex County.
Well, I used to live on Sheridan Avenue, right down real close next to the Nabisco company that was making all those wonderful
company,
cookies.
Yeah, sure,
I was so
sure,
hungry.
Sure.
You know where it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No. No. I'm from Union County, so that's a
yeah.
That's a good
so
thing.
You would know. So yeah. No, I lived there, and it was all four family houses. Okay, a lot of them are on four family houses, and of course I had to live up on the fourth floor. Oh my God. But anyway, the point, and there's no elevator in there at that time. But anyway, so the thing of it is a lot of times people aren't afraid to, you know, make that phone call because they're afraid
sure.
of retaliation, okay?
Sure.
So I always
sure.
I always give out the what we use all over the country. Yeah, the 1-800-4-A-CHILD number two, okay?
Yeah, but
good
in New
Jersey,
that's great to have, yeah.
Yes. Oh, you have to have that because we're in New Jersey, all right?
Yeah.
I'm not in New York anymore. We're in New Jersey, all right? So, but for anyone where they're afraid of retaliation, they, too, can use the 1-800, the number 4-A-CHILD. So that's another
yeah.
good one to know. And
because
I've had them on the show also, that hotline service, and that's through Child Help. You're probably
yeah.
familiar with that organization.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. I believe in community work, okay?
Yeah.
Before the pandemic, I did an awful lot of community work. And I was with the Guardian Angels. I know them. I love a few of them. I'm very close to them. And, you know, Guardian Angels are good people, you know, to have, you know, on your side when you have any type of organization, okay, that deal with children and child abuse. And of course, they deal with all things, not just children. But the point of it is, the usual person who doesn't deal, you know, with the communities, you know, they have to come to learn that if you don't start caring about your community is going
to
go down. I just
you
moved.
Always have to care about it. It's all about community. It's all about community.
Yeah. I mean, I've been here already 3 years. It's not just. It doesn't seem like that long ago already. But I moved in here on Halloween 3 years ago. I was throwing candy at all the kids. I was having a blast. It was good. But, you know, then, of course, the pandemic hit not too long after that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, you know, things got closed down. All these things happened. And rioting in the streets and all this other stuff. Not where I am. I'm in the woods now. Don't know which I like
okay.
better, to be honest with you. But with community, what can people, as regular people, what would you suggest
sure.
that they do, for God's sake? What, give them some pointers as to how they
so,
can become active. Yeah.
So to me, you're like, and you're so right, Carol, it's all about community. And I think oftentimes we get so caught up and busy in our own, you know, trying to make ends meet, right? And ensuring that, you know, you can put food on the table, keep the lights on, we forget that, you know, we have to give back. I mean, when it's our home, and I don't mean just your physical home, but where you live, the people you want to engage, it's making a community strong. That means you have to be engaged, and you have to give of yourself. So volunteerism is the biggest way to make a difference. Find something that you're passionate about, something that will make a difference for another, and put yourself, whether it be an hour a week, 2 hours a week, you know, whatever you can afford in regards to time, and volunteer. You know, that is the way we ensure our community is engaged, we are aware, and we ensure that the children who are being raised in that community feel safe and protected because they know not only their mom, but the neighbor and the person at the school or at the church or you name it. They are invested in your well-being. When we all know that, and we have a culture in that community that enhances that. Those who dare to think to harm or abuse a child will be prevented or not even think of doing that. Now, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but you build a space that ensures that that type of behavior is not going to be tolerated, and there is no space for them, those perpetrators, to maneuver. So it's really about the community. When you see when abuse happens, and perpetrators, if you look at the way perpetrators find their victims, they look for a community that's disengaged. They look for families that may not be disengaged, that may not be as engaged. So it's ensuring that we strengthen our community, we strengthen our bond, and we strengthen the engagement, our engagement, the way we give ourselves to each other and to our community, so that we ensure that all of the parts that make a community, you know, going to school, engaging in activities at the park, knowing each other, understanding each other, regardless of your, you know, your political leanings or whatnot, understanding each other again and having an understanding that we need to talk to each other and we're all invested in strong communities.
That's right.
Strong and healthy
communities. That's exactly right. Right. You know, one night, I just moved from, you know, Peaburg, we call it Peaburg, that's Phillipsburg in this area. And I had lived there 15 years with my husband. And when we first moved into, you know, on the block there, it was okay. There's a nice park across the street. There were no problems, none that I saw anyway. And one night I was taking a walk, and I was doing a lot of walking in those days, trying to stay slim, okay? Mm-hmm. Getting out there and doing some exercise, yes. So anyway, all right, I'm walking around and all this other stuff, feeling okay. And all of a sudden I realized that there was a vehicle that had passed me. Okay, well, nothing, you know, it's urban like over there. Doesn't mean anything. I was up there at 1 o'clock in the morning. That's another thing people have to remember. You don't walk around at 1 o'clock in the morning alone. You don't do that. That's silly. But I'm up all night, okay? I'm the night owl. I'm not a night owl for NASCAR. So to me it wasn't like 1 o'clock in the morning. So anyway, I'm walking around and enjoying the nice summer air and all this other stuff. And this car starts to circle. He's circling me. Wherever I go, that's where he's at. And when he realized that I stood my ground. I wasn't going to run. First of all, I didn't want him to know where I lived. Okay, that's another thing. So, and I wasn't going to go to a neighbor's. I didn't want to put that on him either. You know what I'm saying? Oh, might think I live there, right? So I just stopped. I was on the corner, and I was standing against a stop sign and one of those signs. And I looked at him, and he took off like a bat out of hell because he realized, okay, look, this lady's going to have my description. She's got the color of my car. She's going to know what kind of car I have. And if I don't get out of here, she's going to call the cops, or maybe she's going to call the cops anyway, whatever.
That goes to the point of, we all have to be the eyes and the ears for each other. You know, when it comes down to abuse, it's really knowing that, you know, if I see something or a child that I know discloses to me because they trust you, and that's a big thing when the child trusts you and they provide you this information, you have to do something. You have to report it. And again, that's why I want to restate, you know, the numbers that we provided. I just hope everyone writes it down, you know, puts it somewhere that they can remember, maybe on their phone. And, you know, if they see something or they get a disclosure from a child because they have a strong rapport, you know, one has a duty. one has a duty to report it and to assist. That's the first step. But building strong communities, knowing each other again, engaging each other, volunteerism is how we build trust amongst each other. That trust filters down to the children in the community. And when there's trust in the community, children who are being abused feel comfortable, feel safe to say something. And that's what we need to do. When they don't feel safe, whether it be at home or within the space in the community, then they don't feel that they can, this type of event in their life will if disclosed, will lead to a nice and supportive outcome.
That's true. And that's one thing we teach on our show, too. I mean, now we call those people the normies, okay? When kids come mm-hmm. from homes where parents, they know that they're loved at home. They know it.
Mm-hmm.
The parents show it. They're well cared for. And all this other stuff, and their families together. Okay, this is lovely, all right? It's like the Brady Bunch, and that's wonderful, all right? But when people, you know, don't have that at home, they don't know where to go, they don't know who to talk to, they don't know how to speak to, and they're scared, and many times they've been threatened. If you open up your
sure,
mouth,
absolutely.
I'm going to kill your cat, I'm going to kill your dog, I'm going to kill
absolutely.
You, whatever. You know,
right.
And then children clam up. Now, what we have to
right.
do, as with the normal people, I believe, we can't deal effectively, you know, until it's a child is raped or whatever, until something bad happens. But with the people who have children that come from normal homes, they should educate their children what
yes.
to watch out for from, you know, the
well,
actions
and I wanna,
of adults.
I don't want to use the word normal. Or not
okay.
normal homes. I think all homes have a dynamic. And I think, you know, every family has their challenges. You hit the nail on the head is in regards to education. And what
yeah.
do we need to ensure we tell our children? First of all, we want to make sure that we use the correct name for our body parts, and we tell
exactly.
our children the proper body parts. We don't make them ashamed of those of their anatomy. I mean, that is the most
right.
natural thing, and I think oftentimes we have you know, parents who were taught that, you know, other names to describe the vagina or the penis. I mean, those are natural body parts. They
mm-hmm.
should feel comfortable
mm-hmm.
about what they are, and there needs to be a build of trust that, you know, whatever happens,
mm-hmm.
you can talk to me. We have to create the safe spaces for them, whether it be at home, at school, and all the different places in the community. It, again, it goes back to building those safe spaces, that trust, that engagement, that culture of safety in our communities. And that starts with getting yourself engaged in the community, trying to support activities, whatever it is that interests you, to get to know those in your community. As that happens, the children become safe and they feel safe because they see that there are people who care and that they can trust. Disclosure can happen to anyone. And understanding, A, what is abuse, understanding who you can speak to, and those who get this information, where they can go for help to assist a child and also a family where abuse is happening.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's so true. Now, one thing we have more in the urban area, which you know, is we have the block parties. At least we did before the COVID set in, and
right.
and that's a good way for for the neighbors, the adult neighbors, and the kids too. You know, to get to know each other who don't
right.
know each other.
To know each other. Community
yeah.
parties, community block parties. Yeah, absolutely.
Mhm. Yeah. And people out there, you should think about that, you know, like many times in the suburbs, I have to say, people are much more to themselves, and they're not so inclined to speak to each other. There's a lot of that going on. And if you don't get to know your neighbors and something bad happens, it makes the situation even worse, because if we can all work together, like Bill says, under like one umbrella, if all the organizations can work together under one umbrella, then there's strength there. There's strength in numbers. And if communities can work together, where people get to know each other, whether it be through church or whether it be through block parties, or if you know people down the street who maybe need help.
Volunteerism. I mean, there's so many organizations that provide so many opportunities to volunteer. There isn't one topic, one interest that you can't find an organization that can say, we can show you how you can assist us. There is not one topic. It's just really having an opportunity to say, you know what, I am interested in helping, you know, gather food for families, or, you know, if there are clothing insecurities and need for clothing, you know, how do I go ahead and collect clothing for those who may not have a coat or a hat, or, you know, there are organizations that are there to assist and understand those in the immigrant population, all of those. There's some organization out there that you can get involved, and in that getting involved, you get to know your neighbor, you get to know people of who are also interested in helping, and when those things, when everyone begins to do that and it starts to trickle, you have an engaged community,
Exactly.
And that's how it starts. We have to begin to communicate, but communicate with an appreciation of another's life and another's walk in life, and being able to listen. I think we don't do that enough. We don't listen enough anymore. We don't, and we're not allowing each other to listen to those stories that we all have. And get to know each other, and all of that trickles back down to, you know, the issue of eradicating abuse, supporting those who may face abuse, supporting families who may face abuse, and providing that trust that's necessary to ensure that any space, any place that it is happening, we're able to know about it and help and support and the family, and most important as well, or equally as important, is hold that offender accountable.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you see, that's the breakdown in our system, though. A lot of times they don't get the time that they should be getting, okay? When 14 little girls have been sexually abused by one person, and that's the number that we knew at the time. Look, we have stats that even say that the first-time offenders, and you probably know this, but I'll let other people know it, but first-time offenders, you know, they many times have abused maybe up to 124, up to 128 times. That's 10 times with one kid, 15 times with another kid. You do the math, it doesn't matter. It's the amount of abuse that they've done.
Yeah,
you know,
and a lot of times the offenders, a lot of times the offenders have their ability to groom, their ability to create a situation where they prevent disclosure. That's why the response has to be, you have to create a space safe enough that those types of grooming tactics are not, you know, are not impacting. It allows the child and children to feel, you know, that I know where my safety net is. I know those who I can trust. So if this were to happen to me, if one were to approach me to touch me in an inappropriate way or to physically harm me or threaten me, there's a community behind me that I know and trust that will ensure my safety. That's
right.
It's not allowing the space for those predators to maneuver. We have to create, and that's why it always goes back to community.
And you see, that's so important that people realize that today everyone's mind is, we're all worried about tomorrow, what's going to happen tomorrow. And like you said, you know, they're worried about putting food on their table. A lot of families have that problem, you know, or paying their rent or paying their mortgage or whatever else, you know, what they have. And they tend to not even be looking at child abuse right now.
And
unless,
that's exactly,
of course, children.
That's exactly, Carol. That's why the holistic approach is truly the effective approach. Because, like I said early on in our in our conversation, we are looking at the family not only when they are and supporting the family, not only when the child comes to our center, sees the safety that's presented before him or her. But we're also looking at all the different factors that may impact the family at home. For instance, the economic, the nutritional factors and food insecurities and whether or not there's violence in the home, intimate partner violence in the home, or is there bullying that's happening, or is there a need for, you know, there's challenges economically to get, you know, clothing for the family or educational needs that the family may need to ensure that they can thrive and provide for their family. All of these basic, topics that all families have to deal with, we are looking at that and how we can support the family, narrow those gaps in order to support that family. Allow the family to support and pay attention to those who they are in charge to protect and to raise and to make sure that they become productive and really great, you know, functioning adults in the community.
And you know, with the food, I'm sitting here thinking, the pantries are very bare right now. You know, that they have, like, for people, you know, who are on Medicaid and all that other stuff, on welfare, whatever. And that makes it very, very difficult, you know, Dominic, you know.
Sure.
Because a lot of people, they did, you know, count on those. So I'm saying to people out there, a lot of them are closed because of the COVID, for God's sake.
Yeah.
But there are some open in, yes. So, but there are some open in your area. You know, please look it
Hillside.
Up.
Yeah, Hillside. The Hillside, the pantry, the food bank in Hillside is open, and I know they've been very a great partner with us. One of the things that we're doing for Thanksgiving at here at Winona's house, we are putting together turkey baskets with many of our donors have provided boxes of food and turkey for our families to ensure that, you know, no family will go without the ability to have a great, you know, holiday. But that goes beyond just the holidays. Many people face food insecurities every day. And that's the reason why here at Winona's house, we built a resource room that allows us to provide and collect certain items that we know families oftentimes ask that they, tell us that they need. So they know to come to us, and if we don't have it, our family advocates, they work so hard to ensure and find where we can connect the dots, services and partners in our community. And here in Newark and in Exeter County, the nonprofit community-based organizations, we work so closely together. We're always meeting and we're always finding ways and keeping that communication open. When I know another organization needs has a family that has certain needs that we can fulfill, we also reach out. So, you know, again, this is what I mean, community coming together to ensure that our families feel supported in crisis, whether it be about abuse or any other crisis.
That is so true, Dominic. And you see, like you said way back when, and I so agree with this, when the pedophiles are going around, remember, pedophiles go where children go, so they're going to be all over the place, and they are all over the place.
If
they see, you know, community, where community is strong, then yes, they're going to take the heck off out of there,
there's no room for them.
They don't want to get caught.
There's no room for them, and there's no room for them to maneuver. Prevention is key. You know, although Winona's House were geared to respond to the immediate knowledge of abuse, and we do, and that triage moment where we are responding from law enforcement to social services to the medical and mental health to the advocacy community, all here at Winona's House working together. But we also get out there as at Winona's House, our family advocates. We go out there and we educate, and we enhance in any way possible the community coming together, learning about abuse, the dynamics of abuse, but also fostering a space where volunteerism is promoted and fostering, you know, education about financial literacy and bringing other parts of the community, from banks who are our supporters to areas where individuals may want to learn about, you know, immigration and how to ensure the process of becoming a citizen and all of that. We are there to build. It has to be, you know, holistic. You can't just look in this one silo. You know, if I'm just dealing with, you know, if I'm just dealing with providing social services, that's all I'm going to deal with. We have to look holistically about all the topics, because, you know, we don't live. People don't live in a community with one particular one particular topic that they have to work around. I mean, life is about a multitude of things that you have to deal with every day. You know, you have to go to work to pay the bills. You have to go to ensure that your child is getting education. You have to ensure that you have to put food on the table. You have to ensure that you provide proper recreation for your family and your children to grow. You have to ensure that you give them proper medical services. All of that is about family, is about raising and building and providing for your family. And when something happens to your family like abuse, you not only look at making sure the offender is held accountable, but you have to look at all the parts of the family. You know, that's so, and what it takes to build strong families. And that's why Winona's House takes that, you know, holistic approach. And I hope, you know, and I believe that's the future of all social services. Social services cannot be approached in silos. We have to look holistically. We have to be able to look at, you know, all the factors that build and maintain strong families, and see how we connect the dots, ensure that when we hear of a family in crisis, whether it be about child abuse or any other, you know, crisis, we're able to respond as providers of social services and law enforcement services. We are looking to provide them a holistic approach, and that's only the way that happens if you take the time to listen and understand the family and what's going on and what their needs are.
And that is so, so, so important, and also so, so much work. That's why it's important for all of the organizations to work together. You see, in the field of social services, and sometimes they hold back, and I know there's laws, of course. I've worked in social services, and I used to work in detention center, and these kids had committed adult crimes, and we had police officers there. And they had cells. They didn't have rooms, okay?
Right.
So,
right.
But, you know, and there's a lot of times other organizations would try to reach out and get information from detention. And they weren't allowed to give certain things because, you know, of the HIPAA law. So, you know, it's but sometimes that impinges, you know, it actually it restricts help We need to work together, all of us.
Right, right.
And
well, that's why we talked about that's why we always talk about, you know, whether it be law enforcement response. Law enforcement response, it should be a holistic approach as well. Whether there is a component of social services there. That's why here at Winona South, in addressing abuse, we are working together. We have our law enforcement partner. We have our social services partner that is headed under the Department of Child the Department of Children, Child Protection and Permanency. We have our medical and mental health providers that that's headed by Newark Beth Israel Robert Wood Johnson Regional Diagnostic Treatment Center, the RDTCs. There are many RDTCs located throughout our state. Very strong collaboration there. And then we have our advocacy unit and our family advocates. That's the connection to the community. That is a direct connection to the community, and tying it all together. That's why it's so important. I can speak about it in parts, but at the end of the day, it all ends up about building strong communities and being part of a community, making sure your listeners are saying, you know what, after listening to this conversation, I'm going to find a place I need to volunteer. I'm going to have my children be part of the volunteer culture and being part of that. And I'm also going to be a culture where I'm going to understand diversity and learn about different viewpoints and understand that. I mean, this is the difference that we can make a difference in our world, in our country, in our state, in our local community, you know, in our neighborhood.
And you know what? At the end of the day, because I've been a part of this, at the end of the day, you go to bed at night and you feel good about yourself. You know, you know what I'm saying, though, Dom? We're out there helping people, you know, as advocates, okay, whether it be through presentations or whether it's even much further than that. I knew of a family out in the woods. They were living in a camper, and it wasn't very big. And so I got people around the neighborhood giving me gifts and all this. Maybe they were a year old, but they were in fine shape, the toys, okay? And we got food together, and we took it out to this family who needed, you know, they weren't going to have Christmas, all right? But we came along because we found out. You see, if people had bigger hearts, and they were more giving.
Well, I believe people do. Everyone does. I think what it is that at times we are afraid, but that fear plays in the hand of those who want to take advantage, those who want to abuse, those who want to do something that's not conducive and supportive of those in the community. We have to, I believe, we have to see how we can engage each other and not give in to that fear. Fear is what drives, I think, our division. And those who are selling fear, those are the individuals who don't care about the community. They are caring about themselves. We need to understand that in community engagement, you know, and not fearing that engagement, is how we start to, you know, believe in ourselves, believe in our community, and quite frankly, our children will believe and know that we are in a safe space. If something happens to me, I can disclose it. It's any language of division and fear, whether it's a perpetrator who's saying, you know, I'm going to harm you and your family. That's fear. That's driving fear into that child, creating the division between him or her and a trusted family member or a trusted community. It's us to ensure that we're not going to give into that fear. We're going to build by engaging each other a strong, healthy community where there is no space for that type of behavior. There is no space for those who want to abuse a child, to roam, and to find support. They won't get that. That's how we begin to turn this out.
Too. You know what's so important here is, and this is what you supply, okay? And people, if you aren't involved with the CAC, you have to do this yourself. But if you have been abused as a child, you have to get help, okay? Because many times you suffer from PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, or even complex. I had that, the complex PTSD, because something that happens time after time after time, you know this, turns into complex post-traumatic stress disorder. And if you don't get the help, and I didn't get help until I was around 30, and then I found out, gee, I'm not stupid. Okay? I found out, gee, I have things to offer, and gee, I can do this. I can work at this kind of job. I can do this. I can do that. I can do this. I can do that. Where always before, I was quite sure that I couldn't, because this is what was fed, you know, in homes that are so dysfunctional, where children are not given what they need to, you know, they don't nurture their children. Yeah. So, you know, so what you're offering, my mother's house, you deal with the family. See, if there's a dysfunction in that family, your crew is going to pick it up. All right, you're going to pick it up.
Yeah, and I don't want I don't want to use. I'm going to be mindful of the language. I don't want to use dysfunction, but I do want to use. Many families have challenges. Many families have. So one of the things I want to make sure is that DCF, Department of Children and Families, here in New Jersey, we always hear about them. Because they are in charge of making sure that, you know, if children are not safe in a home, they, of course, have to remove them and make sure that they're safe. But they do a lot more.
Absolutely.
I mean, they provide support. I mean, if someone wanted to understand and know about, you know, I've been I'm an adult now, but I was abused as a child, and I did not, you know, I feel like I would benefit from support and help if I spoke to someone. There are referrals that they can provide. They have so much, a wealth of information to support the community and those who may need support. It's not only when there's, you know, abuse that's happening in a home. They can provide referrals. Of course, we provide referrals as well. But I think you're absolutely right, Carol. Those who have been abused and they didn't get a chance or never saw a support in where they can talk about it and have a conversation about what happened to them. It is always great to seek out, a way to, you know, to talk about that experience. And I think, you know, seeking a counseling or a professional support is a really good way of really building yourself, investing in yourself, and helping really understand and work through what occurred, the abuse that occurred when you were a child.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, I had asked you this. All right, you didn't go through this, but you certainly know it. You are talking the talk. Because you're speaking to someone who had to walk that walk. Let me tell you something. You do know, okay? And that's it makes me feel really good. I wonder if Bill's still there. I don't know if he is or not. Bill, are you there?
Oh, I think I know. I'm not sure if he was still on the call.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there he is. Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
I thought you were gone, Bill.
The show is almost over. We were having such a good time going back and forth, he and I. And he's from areas that I know. Okay, well, he knows all about where I used to live in Elizabeth and all that stuff, and we just got into it in community, because community does matter. And I do miss that show that we used to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But maybe you'd like to say something to him, because the show is almost over. It went so fast. Holy Christopher. Go ahead, Bill. Yeah.
Well, I just want to make sure people understand that and recognize that, you know, the NASCA community is made up of basically survivors of child abuse and people who work with survivors and so forth. But we don't work, as I said earlier, directly with children. However, all of us that survived child abuse were once children. I mean, we're talking about the experiences that we all had And we're talking about preventing the next generation from going through much of the same thing. In fact, part of the reason, see, we are responsible for our children, the adults. And the adults in prior times didn't learn what we're trying to learn tonight. But once we've learned it, once we've heard about it, now we are responsible for using it in whatever way we can to help help the children of today avoid, of course, child abuse, but if they are traumatized, then to get them the services they need and so forth. So we're going to continue to do shows like this on occasion, and
yes,
we'll be bringing people back as well. We do that too. Wynonna's House is one of them. And, you know, we hope people will participate a little more than they did tonight. But as Carol said, this is going in the archives, and it's pretty clear about what the show is about because of the description that's written. So we hope, you know, people will take advantage of all the information that you've given us tonight, which was fantastic. And as I say, if they can't remember how to get in touch with you, they can ask Carol or I, because we both know how to reach you.
Oh, thank you. Yes,
thank
great.
You so much, really. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure, and thank you for the work that you both are doing. I mean, at the end of the day, we have to get that information out. It starts with a conversation. It starts with a conversation, whether it be on this talk show, whether it be at home, whether it be with your children, whether it be with your neighbor. It begins with a conversation. Child abuse or abuse in general has been something that people stayed away from. It's just, that ugly word, that word. We have to normalize it. We have to understand that abuse is something we need to understand, we need to talk about, and there is no shame in talking about it and ensuring that people, we normalize discussing it. Again, it's a way of ensuring there is no space for those who would like to perpetrate abuse on our children and on our community. They have no space, no room to maneuver.
That's right. That's exactly right. You couldn't have said it any better than what you just said. I want to thank you so much for coming on this show. And we usually wait about a year, and then we have, you know, someone else come back again. And I would like to do that with Wynonna's House because you have
absolutely.
So much to
my
offer.
Pleasure. Oh, absolutely.
Yes. And you give out so much information, and you give people ideas. You make them think. And that's what people have to start learning to do, Dominic, is to think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we don't educate our children, if we don't take care of our children, then that's why crime is so high a lot of times. And because of the places that I've worked at with all the kids, this is why. You look back into the family dynamics. What kind of home did they come from? What didn't they learn that they should have learned? So, you know, we're on the same page. I understand that.
Yeah.
And I want to just thank
you. It takes a community. Yeah. It truly takes a community to raise children. I know it's an adage. We've heard it over and over again, but it is. But understanding that engaging, it starts with us. We have to look at each other. So if we want a good community, if we want a strong community, if we want a supportive community, if we want a community that ensures that there are a lot of safe spaces for people to say, something happened to me, I need your help, it starts with us. And then once it cascades that everyone does that, then we begin to have the culture that we're looking for, the community culture that we're looking for.
And we'll all be a lot safer and happier. Yes, we will. Absolutely. Yes. So thank you so much. I'm going to have to end the show in about 60 seconds, and not even seconds, I don't know, maybe about 30 seconds. And but, yes, we will be calling you back, okay, because you're great.
Oh, my pleasure.
You. You're a wonderful,
well, thank you.
You're a wonderful speaker. I like that. And, again, you gave so much information. Thank you so much, Dominic. And
you're welcome. Can I say one more time the website before we go?
Absolutely.
Again, our website is www.wynonnashouse.org. Please, that's a lot of information to contact us, to get to know us. Those in New Jersey and would like to know a CAC next to, near them, please go to www.njcainc.org, njcainc.org. And those nationally listening, please go to the National Children's Alliance website, which is www.national, NationalChildrensAlliance.org. Spell National Children's with an S, Alliance.org.
Excellent. And don't forget, that's in the archives, too. And we have so many people that look at that. They see, well, who was on tonight? Okay, let's turn it on. And then they'll hear everything.
They'll hear
the whole show. So, it never goes away either. Like I said, 5 years from now, it'll still be there. Okay?
Okay.
So thank you. God bless you. Thank you for coming on. And happy holidays to you. And stay safe.
Yes,
okay?
And happy holidays to all your listeners as well. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you. Good night now.
Good night.
Good night.
Are you still there, Carol?
Yeah.
Oh.
After
how did it go? I don't know.
It went wonderful. It went
good.
Trust me. You did a fine job.
Oh, great. I'm glad I've got the information out for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Yeah, so let me know what's next and what you need me, but what else you may need. You know, I will definitely, and again, thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity and the time to speak to your listeners. And I do hope I provided them with some good information and some good insight.
You did a fine job. Thank you so much. And we'll speak again soon, okay?
Okay, we'll do. I look forward to speaking.
Okay. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Have a good night. Now.
Bye-bye.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, good show.